Sam Leach, curator, or at the Not Fair exhibition.
Not Fair, yes. Yep.
And we will have also have Ara Dalatian.
Dalatian, yeah.
So should have checked that before. My turn to get things wrong today, Brendan. So, who's an artist for the exhibition as well. So welcome to the studio, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
I went to the opening of it yesterday, and Sam, we know you because you've been on our show before.
Yes.
This is an extraordinary exhibition, isn't it? You've curated this, and tell us a little bit about the background of the building and how it all came about.
The building that we're in is a former Nutilex factory, and this is the fifth version of Not Fair that we've put on. It started as a satellite art fair to the Melbourne Art Fair, which we've now outlived, although they're coming back. But this year we were given an opportunity to show in this amazing abandoned factory in the middle of Windsor, which is about to be demolished, which on one hand is kind of sad for us because we've grown attached to it.
But yeah.
On the other hand, it's great because we've allowed our artists to do pretty much whatever they want in the space without regard to any kind of heritage or repair or being able to extract the work again or anything like that.
And it's a huge space, isn't it? So therefore there's lots of room in between each piece, isn't there?
We've really been able to give each artist room to put on an extensive body of work, and each piece really stands in its own space.
Right.
For us, it feels more like a Biennale style installation. That's what we've been able to achieve.
And with it just being like a general exhibition, this is a chance for all the artists to actually sell their work as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We embrace our art fair related heritage, and we do have that commercial aspect to what we're doing, but at the same time it's tightly curated so that we do have a very consistent idea and set of ideas that we work to, but at the same time we love to be able to sell the work and connect artists with collectors and the public.
Well, absolutely, because it's such a struggle, being an artist yourself.
Indeed.
Now, How long have you been doing it, sort of jumping the fence a little bit and not just being an artist?
The first time we did this was 2010, so it's been going a little while. The original founders, Ashley Crawford, Tony Lloyd and myself, we took a step back in the last couple of iterations and handed over to some other people. But this year we had an opportunity to come back and redo things a little bit, and we really jumped at the chance.
Yep. How hard was it to find the artist? I mean, say it wouldn't be all that hard for somebody like you that's part of the game, but finding the right artist that you wanted there.
Yeah, it's an extensive process, and what we do is reach out to curators and artists that we respect and ask for recommendations. So we form in a sense a long list, and from that we would then work down to the artists that we think we want to present each year.
Yeah, what I love about this exhibition in this huge warehouse where a lot of the machinery is still left there, but you couldn't move it, and they're probably going to have pull the building down to move some of this machinery because it's huge. But then on the ground level there's the offices from the very 70s looking offices, and again there each room has got art on the walls or in a cabinet or on a table.
It was really exciting finding those spaces, and with the cheesy wood paneling and brass fixings, the old conference table. It was a lot of fun sort of setting up little mini exhibitions in each one of those rooms. And it's really nice, I think, to be able to move from this really gritty industrial space into this very different kind of atmosphere.
Tell us about the house next door.
The cottage next door has been interfered with by Robbie Rollins. He's done an intervention, we can say.
An intervention, yeah. Okay. So therefore, let's paint the picture here. This is a very derelict house. It's real tiny. And obviously no one's been living in it for a while.
I think for many years they used it as a ad hoc engineering workshop for the factory. So it bears some scars from that part of its history.
Well, talking about scars, he's created scars by using a saw, I should imagine.
Saws, angle grinders, reciprocal cutters, all manner of stuff to cut into the fabric of the building and the furniture and almost any other thing that that he found in there.
Well, and to try to describe it, because it is a little bit hard to paint the picture with this, he's cut sort of like sections of it and then lifted it back. So therefore it's the carpet and the floorboards and whatever else is there is just then lifted back. But it's a sort of, sort of only small sections, isn't it, of some rooms?
Yeah, he essentially cuts a wedge out of the building and exposes the layers of the structure itself. So, you know, from the ground underneath the building through the supporting beams, the carpet, the wood flooring.
Yeah, or the kitchen where the kitchen cupboards have been sliced and part of them are then now laying on the floor. So it really is quite interesting, the look it gets, isn't it?
It becomes a really formal, minimalist artwork in its own way, because his actual gestures, they read as a simple cut through the building. So it's like a single gesture, even though what you're looking at is very complex and it took a long time, of course, to create.
Yep.
But it's really easy to read exactly what's going on, even though there's a lot of information that comes back out of it.
There was, I can't remember the artist, but there was three or four pieces up on the first level, paintings that are extraordinary. They're scenes, and the colours and you know, like, sort of looks 200 or 300 years old, but very contemporary at the same time.
Saffron Nui. Yes, she has three beautiful paintings in the show, which refer to 17th century and Baroque landscapes. But there's aspects in there of really mashing up a range of historical paintings and bringing in parts of digital technology. They are intensely vibrant, almost sickly colours in some part of it.
It just blew me away. I loved it. And the other thing that blew me away, and it was the first piece I saw when I arrived, was a truck.
Shanra Austin's Camion. It's a massive, soft truck. Beautifully upholstered with the salmon pink satin buttons.
but it's, you know, it's sort of like a blow up toy, but it's also like a quilt. Describe the fabric.
It's a range of materials. The most of the body is made out of, I think it's a sort of vinyl, a soft vinyl fabric, but there is this flesh-coloured satin detail. So the hubs of the tyres protrude with this satin, and inside you sit in this flesh-coloured, soft, womb-like environment. And the juxtaposition between what it's representing, this massive rig, and what it actually is, which is this super super absorbing, comfy environment, is really exciting.
And you can get inside the cabin of this truck.
I encourage everyone to go and have a go. It's so great sitting up in there and having a drive.
But the interesting thing is, apart from all this fluffiness and loveliness of the artwork, the rear vision mirrors that are coming out are original.
Yes. So there's a couple of little elements that take you back to the origins of that particular piece.
Yeah. Now, tell us about the artist that's sitting next to you. Why did you choose his art, and what is it?
So Ara Dalatian's got a series of works in our show, which are, I guess I think of them as something like a microcosmos. They're little sort of terrariums that sit on these tall legs. They look something like you might find in a science fiction movie, looking at preserving the last specimens of some plant through some apocalyptic future. But at the same time, everything in it is super clean and shiny. It's beautiful work.
Well, okay, let's ask the artist to describe it, or what trip he was on when he actually designed it.
Well, it's sort of my studio is my practice is a studio-based practice. So a lot of the times my intentions sort of just happen as I progress in making one work, then I progress into another. But to me, they like a seem like a biological experiment in apparatus or sort of cities that blur the boundaries between the real and the imaginary. And also, you know, it's sort of the commodification of flora, fauna, technology and space becomes visible within those entities.
Yep. Yeah. And there's smoke coming out of other bits that were on the ground and or somewhere some smoke was coming out, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was mist coming out and, you know, just looking.
Not smoke, mist. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Better word for smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just looking at the ideas of sort of social science and sort of environmental politics, sort of like water political sort of issues sort of popping in there as well. Right. Yeah.
So give us a background on who you are as an artist, you know, like, and how did you get to this, you know, like, because it's bit out there what you're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I actually went to school when I was 30 to visual arts school. Before that, I was in the fashion industry. And I was always interested in art and in making and sort of kind of, you can say, a bit more tactile and have this haptic process when I sort of enjoy touching the materiality and experimenting. And I guess it was one of my main reasons to major in sculpture, and then did sculpture at RMIT. Then I did a social science master's as well at RMIT.
Right.
Yeah.
And where do you, like, you mainly exhibit? Is it exhibitions like this, or do you, you know, put your own shows on, or?
Well, when I finished, I started applying to artist-run spaces just to sort of develop new body of works and to also know about my practice, because it sort of takes you a while to know what you're on about, what you're actually making and where is it going. And I think by exhibiting at artist-run spaces, I started getting invited to curatorial group shows. And I recently had a funded exhibition in Montevideo in Uruguay, which it's still on for a few more days as well.
Wow.
So, I guess lots of admin work too, more than studio work sometimes, which is very disappointing, but you've got to do it.
Hey, of course, you know, like, it's not all about just creating art. You've actually got to work on it, don't you, as well?
Yeah.
So, Sam, you know, like, it's only on for a very short time, this exhibition.
Short and sweet, that's right.
Right. So where is it?
It's in James Street, Windsor, so just off Chapel Street, quite close to Windsor Station.
I wrote Swan Street, and I was even there yesterday. I don't know why I got Swan Street, but James Street.
James Street, Windsor, yes. It's across the road from Mars Gallery. And,
yes.
Like a three-minute walk from Windsor Station.
Yeah, and it's an extraordinary space just to be in there, and the art is extraordinary as well.
We're so happy with how the show has come together this year, and I think all of the artists have responded to the building beyond what we could have hoped for. So it's a really exciting show.
Right. Okay. And you know, like, what happens next for you? You know, like, are you starting to plan next year's?
Well, now I catch up on my own studio practice, which has been on the back burner for a few weeks while I've concentrated on this. And yes, we start work on our next project.
Right, brilliant. Well, it's fantastic. It's called Not Fair Exhibition, and it is in
James Street, Windsor.
Windsor, and I'm sure you'll be able to find it on social media.
Yes, and it's listed on Google Maps as well.
Right, brilliant. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
You're on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.